inside the control panel of basically every factory floor or roller coaster or power grid you rely on, there is this simple 35 millimeter piece of bent metal. And it's keeping the whole system from, you know, literally burning down.
Yeah, totally burning down.
Right. So today we are taking a deep dive into this hidden backbone of global industrial automation, the DN rail. We're looking at industry specs, panel building manuals, really trying to see how this one standardized strip revolutionized manufacturing.
It really changed the speed of every automated industry you interact with every day.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. If you think about building a control box, well, before this invention, you were basically forced to glue every single piece down with custom drilled holes and screws.
Right, it was just total chaos.
Complete chaos. I mean, the DN rail acts like the universal Lego base plate of the industrial world, right?
That is a perfect analogy. And the name actually comes from the Deutsches Institut für Normung. That's the German standards body that originally published this specification.
Oh, German standards. That makes sense.
Yeah, they love their standards. By establishing this really rigid standard for that base plate, build times just shrank drastically.
Because you aren't tapping threads for every single relay.
Exactly. Technicians could suddenly just snap components onto this symmetrical hat rail.
But, okay, since it functions like a universal base plate, we have to talk about why pieces from completely different manufacturers always fit. Like, if I buy a relay from Japan and a rail from Germany, how do we guarantee they snap together safely?
Well, what's fascinating here is that there are global dimensions keeping it all in check. You've got IEC 60715 globally, UL 508A in North America, and EN 5702 in Europe. They all point to the same thing.
The exact same shape.
Yeah, the TS35 top hat rail. It's the universal king of the factory floor. It has a flat back and these two flanged lips sticking out.
Oh, so they stick out parallel to the panel.
Right. And devices like PLCs, you know, programmable logic controllers, the computer brains of the factory.
Right.
They have a static lip on one side of their mounting base and a spring-loaded clip on the other. You hook the static side over the top lip, push down, and that spring clip just snaps securely under the bottom lip.
Wow. So you are leveraging spring tension against universally agreed upon dimensions. That 35 millimeter width is totally non-negotiable globally. But even with perfect global standards, the physical physics of the panel still matter. You can't just slap any rail into a box, right?
No, definitely not.
So what does this all mean for the builder? I mean, couldn't I just use lightweight aluminum for everything to save on shipping weight?
Well, you could. And aluminum is about 35% lighter. Plus, it's highly corrosion resistant.
Which sounds great.
It is, especially for like a wet marine environment or an outdoor telecom cabinet.
Yeah.
But you trade away raw structural strength.
Oh, because it's too soft.
Exactly. If you load up an aluminum rail with heavy power contactors or a thick copper bus bar system that distributes the main electrical power, the aluminum will literally physically sag under the weight.
A bending, sagging rail inside a high-voltage cabinet sounds like a complete disaster waiting to happen.
It absolutely is. That is why cold-rolled, zinc-plated steel is the default choice for, I'd say, about 90% of industrial setups. It just provides that superior mechanical strength.
So the rail doesn't warp.
Right. But even with steel, builders make mechanical errors. Dangerous ones, like cutting the rail to size and just failing to deburr the edges.
Ouch. A sharp steel edge.
Yeah, a freshly cut steel edge will slice right through wire insulation. Or worse, it slices right through a technician's fingers.
Yikes.
Another big mistake is they just skip installing end brackets.
Oh, which just lets those spring-loaded components vibrate right off the end of the rail while the machine is running.
Yes. And then there's the thermal trap. It's called the 80% fill rule.
The 80% fill rule? What is that?
Well, builders see a few inches of empty space on the rail, and they just pack it full of heat-producing components.
Oh, because they want to save space.
Right. But if you don't leave at least 20% of that rail empty, those parts can't vent. The whole system literally cooks itself into thermal death.
Wow, so you have got to leave room for the hardware to breathe.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, following these mechanical rules like proper spacing and clamping parts down with end brackets, it's crucial.
And making sure the rail is properly grounded, right?
Yes, ensuring the rail itself is heavily bonded to earth. That provides a safe path for fault currents. It means massive automated facilities can run 24/7 without, you know, risking catastrophic fires or electrocution.
It really ties the technical specifics back to our everyday world. I mean, we started by looking at how standardizing a simple piece of bent metal drastically accelerated global automation.
It really lowered costs and sped things up everywhere.
Right. So here's where it gets really interesting. Think about the totally unstandardized modern technologies we are dealing with today.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, you look at the chaotic ecosystems of smart home devices that, just refuse to talk to each other, or the wildly varying shapes of EV batteries.
That is a great point.
They are all desperate for a universal standard to unlock their true potential. And until they find it, they're really just loose Lego bricks waiting for a base plate.